This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't know. I'm sorry, the phone was not working on Wi-Fi calling in the trailer.
Oh, okay. So I know that we should not be talking. And I know that it is generally not good for you. But I was extremely concerned yesterday. When I was trying to talk to you about, workaholism and the seriousness of it in causing emotional problems,
I'm really not up for talking about all this again tonight.
Well, why were you on your trailer today?
I thought I would do taxes, but I'm really just sitting and staring, so I think I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah. So there's a way that you think about what's a good way to behave, and you think it's normal, and it's really, really not. Hold on just a second. Sorry about that. Are you there?
Yep.
I just, you kind of, last night you just kind of, interrupted what I was saying and dismissed it and changed the subject, to say that the previous night, you couldn't even do taxes. You had to go straight to bed because you were feeling suicide-y. But it seemed like you were almost trying to support Megan's idea that, you know, downtime is not good and working gets you doing something productive, and that's, like, healthier. Do you kind of remember that part of our conversation yesterday?
Yeah.
And
I don't need you to call and give me psychiatric advice.
This is not psychiatric advice, Dustin. This is not psychiatric advice. This is a warning.
I agree with Megan because she's a professional. That
she has no idea what you're doing right now. She would be stunned if she could look at a chart showing how much time you've spent at work and showing how much time you've spent on taxes and showing how much time you've spent in exercise and recreation. Dustin, that's not something that anybody can fathom. You can't tell somebody how much you work and a normal person actually comprehend it unless they see cold, hard numbers on a pie graph. She would not believe it. It's amazing that you are still existing with the way that you have structured your time over the last 17 years. It is surreal that you exist right now. Sorry about that.
What?
I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
I don't think that Megan knows that you've been doing it for that long. I don't think that Megan knows the difference between the four pallets that I asked you to put together so that the bikes wouldn't get rusted and what you actually built on the side of our house. I don't think that Megan knows that when I was in Cape Cod, you were at River Hollow feeling depressed, like the only being who cared about you in the universe was a dog because of the schedule you keep. I don't know if she knows that going fishing with Julie's family was the first time you've maybe ever been fishing ever. I don't think she knows that what you call not being connected to your wife and what you call your wife not liking you is just you never recreating, ever. I don't think she knows that. I think she thinks that you are a really normal person because you come across as really normal. I think she thinks that you're capable of organizing your time because you come across as an extraordinarily capable person. And I just don't think that there's any way that anybody could know how bad it is. And you doing taxes like this is not healthy. It needs to stop.
I'm not doing taxes, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have even gone in your trailer today. That's not okay. That's not okay for you to be doing this day after day after day. You need relationships. You need family. You need exercise. You need socialization. Like, you need to be human. Not going in a trailer by yourself. You can't do that. You can't do that. Like, you can't. Other people on day three of that would be like, I'm done with this. And they wouldn't do it anymore.
I'm not interested in arguing with you tonight. I'm not doing this.
I'm not trying to make an argument. I'm saying that this is an extreme... I have an extreme concern for your well-being.
I'm going to go to bed. I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to bed.
I'm not doing something, Dustin. I'm not doing something. Like, you want to act like I'm trying to argue with you. I'm not. I'm telling you that we've got to figure out a way that tomorrow you don't get home from work and think that you should work on taxes.
Well, that's not true.
It's critical, Dustin. It's critical. You are all the things that caused you to be in the
I was only doing the taxes because it's on your list. If you don't want me to do the taxes, that's fine.
But that's blame shifting, Dustin. And this is the same thing that's happened all along. When you're at Pine Ridge working too
shifting,
many hours.
That's a fact.
You're twisted. Yeah, you do. You say, oh, we're a team. Aaron
it does not matter
working on Pine Ridge. But this is not okay for you to spend more than one day on it. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. This is not okay, and it's not my fault. But you know that it's structured so that I can't. You know that I don't know any of the facts of what you were doing in 2018. I'm happy to do it for 2020 because I can start keeping up with the receipts, and I can be logging them into accounting software, and I can do that right now, and it's pretty straightforward because all we have is rental income and your paychecks. And it's all right there. But you know that for 2018, you were living your life and you were making your financial decisions in a way that precluded me from being able to do it at this point. So you need to stop blame shifting on me that I need to be the one to do it. You need to stop blame shifting on me that it takes you weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because I'm the one who put it on my list. I'm not the reason that you have to do taxes. You knew that taxes for 2018 were going to be due April 15th of 2019, probably when you were 10 years old. So you've had almost your whole life to prepare for the fact that this was something that you were going to have to do, whether you're married or not. This is not a marital problem. But we are right back to what caused all of your problems to finally blow up, and it's much worse now.
I'm not interested in arguing with you either.
I'm just interested in you. You don't have to call me and tell me
do the taxes faster because I'm not going to be able to do them faster. They take time.
Then you're going to have to outsource it.
It
is time to cry out for help. It's time. It's time for you to say, I can't do this myself.
I can't do it.
I have to outsource this. I need help. And I can't afford the help because I don't have money, but I need help. Because you are one person and you can't do this. It's not an argument. I'm trying to make it better. I'm trying to make it better. I'm not trying to cause a problem. I'm trying to tell you that this is solvable. This is solvable. Everybody in the entire country has to file taxes every year.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
That's not true. You're lying to me when you say that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay, then
please
you
don't
do
tell
it.
That lie about me. I know, but we just have this conversation. That's blame shifting. It's blame shifting. We're going in a circle where you try to blame me.
If you think you can do it so fast, then you do it.
When we've already had a conversation about why I can't do it for 2018 because of the way that you structured and lived your life in 2018.
Well,
so you can't put that on me. You can't put that on me. In 2018, I know that you were saying that you were trying to do better about keeping up with your accounting in real time so that it wouldn't pile up on you. I know that. I remember that. I heard that. But it is definitely blame shifting for you to say, well, if you think you can do it so fast, then you do the taxes from 2018. When I've already explained to you why that's not what needs to happen right now. But you also don't need to tell me that I have no idea what I'm talking about, because that's definitely not the case. You're lying to me about myself. You're trying to take away my identity, which is that I'm an intelligent person who does understand taxes and does understand the process and does know things such as everybody in the country has to do taxes. Yeah, you don't need to replace
that's completely
my
irrelevant.
Actual
you
identity.
Normal taxes
no, you don't need to. You
want to
take away my actual identity as an intelligent woman who understands taxation.
Nobody's ever
saying that you're
not an intelligent woman.
I know. You want to take away the fact that I understand how taxes work and I'm capable of filing them correctly,
don't understand
efficiently.
How taxes work.
You don't need to replace my actual identity with the identity of a person who has no idea how taxes work. You don't. I'm not going to capitulate to that. I get to know who I am And
okay.
I get to know
well,
what I am.
I'm not going to capitulate
to
you.
And I get to know what I'm capable of, and you don't need to replace it with a falsehood about me.
It's literally possible to do them.
What? What?
Nothing. I don't want to argue with you.
Okay, then don't argue with me. Don't argue with me. And don't... Because I'm wanting to make it better. I'm wanting to make it better. I'm wanting to make it better. It's not going to get better by you thinking that you can do everything yourself. Like, you have no idea how long your list is beyond due the taxes. There is no way that you are going to survive under the crushing weight of everything that is expected of you. You can't do it. Nobody can. People don't live this way. Humans do not function this way. It's not a, that's not a criticism of you. That's a reality about what our species is as an organism. I want you to be okay. I want you to know what it feels like for one day to live a healthy family life. I've only ever wanted to give that to you. I want to spend weekends at the springs with you. I want to go fishing with you. I want to recreate when you get off of work every day. Those feelings that you're having that are driving you to not be able to work on the taxes, not be able to focus, have to go to bed early, God gave you those. They're a sign that something's wrong. Not that something's wrong with you. It's a sign that something is right with you. It's a sign that your body is functioning exactly as God intended, and you need to listen to it, and you need to make the changes. You're not abusing your own self through your decisions of how you spend your time. God made you for so much better than what you're doing. And you shouldn't treat me like I'm doing something wrong to you by loving you enough to tell you that.
I'm not trying to treat you any kind of way. I just can't talk tonight.
I didn't ask you to talk tonight. But you're trying to make it sound like I'm trying to stir up a conflict or criticize you. Or
you just did criticize me. And...
Nope. That's not true. You know exactly what I'm doing, and it's not trying to criticize you. I'm trying to help you with your health. I care about your actual well-being, and you shouldn't, like, you shouldn't utilize the fact that your mom threw $18,000 at it as a way to get away from hearing from people who actually live with you in your day-to-day life, who actually see what's going on with you. Like, you shouldn't say, I paid a professional to tell me, so I don't need you to. That's not an appropriate use of a professional.
And I invited you to participate.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, Megan, who I'm not allowed to talk to about anything other than medication. She's never had sex with you, to my knowledge.
So?
She's never even shared a bed with you for one night, to my knowledge. Like,
so? What does it have to do with anything?
She's never been able to track your sleep-wake cycles for even 1 week, to my knowledge. And if she has, she certainly hasn't for a year. I mean, you're talking about a person who is limited to what you tell her about how you live your life when you're out in the real world. You cannot, I mean, you can value what she says as a professional, but you can't use that to say that nobody else can have a genuine perspective based on real observations because they didn't get the right degree in college like Megan did. Like, you can't, that makes no sense. That is a completely inappropriate use of hiring a professional. I don't deserve to be talked down to like that. Like, I'm invalid because I don't have the right degree. You can't hire somebody to replace your family. God gave you family. God gave you family. Real people to really love you in the flesh. To really know you and know you intimately. And he didn't give you that so that you could tell them that they're stupid because they don't have a degree in psychiatry.
Never once called you stupid.
I know, but you don't need to tell me that it's inappropriate for me to be giving you advice because I'm not a professional. That's awful. That's awful. Like, that's awful. God gave me to you, a real person that you don't have to pay $18,000 to care for you. I just do it voluntarily. And I don't deserve to be shut out like that. And you are not wise to shut out people who really know you.
I don't believe that I shut you out.
Yeah, you did. On this phone call.
How did I shut you out?
You told me that you didn't need me to be calling and giving you psychological advice when you paid a professional to do that. That's not okay. It's not okay. You don't get to hire a professional and then turn around and say, okay, I went to a professional, so now nobody in my real life gets to have an opinion about how I'm living my real life because they don't have the right degree for that. Like, you can't do that.
I still invited you to go see a professional with me.
I know that's what this is about, Dustin. We're going to live a real life that lasts for more than 1 hour a week. And so if I'm seeing you drive yourself nearly to death under the crushing weight of not getting to recreate, not getting to exercise, not getting to be a member of a family, not getting to have close friendships, not getting to trust other people, but having to work a stressful job and feel like you're not able to focus on this really important tax return that you're way behind on, I'm going to say I love you enough that God made you fit for better. this can't continue. That's not me criticizing you. That's me loving you. And you need real people in your life who can love you in that way to see what you're actually doing on a day-to-day basis and say to you, Dustin, this feels normal to you, but it's not normal. Like, you have superhero powers that allow you to do this, and you think that the people who don't do this are lazy and irresponsible, and you look at somebody like Sean, you know, clocking out of work at 1 o'clock p.m. to go be with his family, and you think there's something wrong with him, you know, yet he's able to have a vibrant family life and he's able to have leisure time. There's something in most people that drives them to want to do what might look like loafing. But that's a really good and really important part of humanity, is to seek recreation and to seek rest and to seek connection. It's a really good thing. And you're not going after it instinctively, but you can learn to go after it if you'll admit that it's important, even if it's not part of your internal drive. And you can look at past results and see that putting your nose to the grindstone like this has not worked for you historically. It doesn't give you the, you know, wonderful results that you think it'll give you. You don't have any kind of increased productivity because of the hours you put in. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you more than I've ever loved you. There's nothing I won't do for you.
Don't really know what to say today, sorry.
I wish you would say that you give up. Like, give up trying to be right. Give up trying to be good enough. Give up trying to work hard enough. Give up trying to defend yourself, like, be willing to rely on other people, real people, be willing to say that you need help from real people, be willing to be vulnerable to real people, be willing to trust real people. It's so much easier. And it's what God made you for.
I don't like that, and I don't agree, and I don't like talking about it, and I don't like sharing my thoughts with you because they just make you mad at me. You're basically saying, Aaron, is you want me to be somebody else. You don't like any of the decisions that I make. You want me to follow the advice of your friends.
No, your friends, Dustin. I want you to have your own friends. Not my friends. Your friends.
Well,
you to have genuine relationships. I want you to have genuine relationships with people. Real relationships with real people. That's what God wants you to be. That's what God made you for. If you read the Bible, Those are things that God commands you to do. You were created to thrive within the context of relationships. And you were created to suffer when you reject that. And I hate seeing you suffer because I love you.
I don't want to be in a relationship again. I don't. What were you going to say?
It's very rude of you, and it's very unkind for you to lie about me, to try to make me think that I'm being selfish for wanting to make you do whatever my friends tell you to do for my benefit. That's just horribly manipulative on your part to try to make me believe that lie about myself. The truth is that
I'm trying to give you what you want, Aaron.
I know, but the truth is...
I'm not trying to think about it.
That
I'm trying to give you what you want. I'm trying to make you understand what you want.
I want you to trust other people. Because that's what you've been desperately needing the last several weeks. Like, for me to just keep giving you lists that you're never going to be able to finish is going to crush you.
That's not true,
that
man.
Is
I could finish
so
the taxes
crushing.
With on the phone arguing with you every night. I could do taxes.
That's not true. And if the taxes were done, it still wouldn't be enough, Dustin. Like, you're never going to be able to do enough without relying on other people.
I wasn't trying to make you feel bad about yourself.
I know, but you want me to imagine that I'm selfishly wanting you to change who you are.
No, I don't want you to imagine that. That's what I'm saying.
So you want to affirm that I'm loving you by trying to help you do what's in your own best interest? Are you affirming that?
I wasn't talking about that. I was trying to provide clarity about what you actually want and affirming that that's what you want and that I want you to have what you want. Mm-hmm.
wish that it was different, honey. I wish that I was...
You can be, Dustin.
No, there's nothing that you like about me.
That's not true.
Want me to make decisions of other people because you like those decisions.
No.
Yes.
There's a reason it's called a disorder, Dustin. It interferes with...
I'm not a disorder.
Huh?
I'm not a disorder. I'm just me.
Yeah, but there's a reason that such a thing as a disorder exists as a word. And it's because of a cluster of related traits that interfere with your ability to be happy. And I need you to be happy for me to be happy. And I've spent a lot of my life being happy, even though you're not. And you've spent a lot of your life being miserable because of how you choose to spend your time. And I can ignore that, and I can be okay with that, and I can ignore that, and I can be okay with that. But there comes a point where your miserableness and your behaviors get out of control, even for yourself. And that's when it makes sense to lean on the wisdom of people who see things in a different way. And that's okay. That's not sacrificing who you are. That opens up a whole new world of freedom for you to not be tied down to perfectionism, to not be tied down to being good enough, to not be tied down to working all the time, to not be tied down to having to prove you're right. Like, to be able to just go on walks and put together your daughter's bicycle and teach your daughter to ride a bike and take a walk at Fort Clinch and go fishing and play a board game and trim the trees and just be a person. Those are not things that would make you have to sacrifice who you are. That would allow you to be who you are for once, without being bogged down and distracted by behaviors that are not working for you, regardless of your compulsion to do the behaviors. They're not working for you. It's okay to give up things that are not working. Like, it's okay to evolve. That's not giving up your identity. That's just adapting to life, which most people do adapt to life. Most people do make changes to how they interact with the world based on how things are working or not working.
don't really have much to say about any of that right now. So thank you for hearing about me.
Okay. Oh, did you talk to your new psychiatrist about that?
About what?
About OCPD?
No. She doesn't really deal with that, I don't think.
Why do you say that?
Because she just does drugs.
Don't you think that she tailors the drugs to what's known to work for what?
Yeah.
So
I'll ask her about that.
Are you angry at me for learning about it?
For learning about what?
About personality disorders?
No.
I love you and I need you to not use that against me.
I'm not using it against you. Why would I do that?
Oh, you've rolled your eyes and you've huffed at me and you've made, like, references. I don't even remember. I guess when I told you. I know that when I told you I saw a joke in the comments section on a YouTube video, you made some more generic remark as though I was, you know what I mean, inappropriately you know what I mean?
No, but I'm sorry.
You treated me as though I shouldn't be learning about disorders because it would give me a propensity to do an amateur diagnosis.
Okay.
Like, that's where I'm getting it all from. You know, do you recall feeling that way?
I mean, I think that would just be a generalized truism.
I agree, and I think that it is not okay for you to take the very real phenomenon that people overwhelmingly do that very inappropriately and try to apply that to me or anything I've ever done. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not fair to me.
Okay.
The fact that other people do that. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like when I first asked you to look up the diagnostic criteria and you reflexively like wanted to read some article that popped up in Google. And I was like, no, not that one, not that one. Because I don't do that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't mind you researching stuff.
I love Todd Grande. I really do.
You love who?
Todd Grande. Dr. Grande on YouTube.
Oh, never heard of him.
He's great. He's so good. What was it I watched by him today? Oh, I know. I watched, it was really good. Where is it? He's got one on what is obsessive compulsive personality disorder. He's got one on what's the difference between narcissistic and obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Oh, he has a good one on empathy. Empathy with each personality disorder. What was it? The one I watched today was something like, something along the lines of, why don't people with personality disorders know that they have a personality disorder?
Cool.
It was really good. But I can't find it now. Oh, why don't people know when they have a personality disorder? By Todd Grande.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I do worry about you reading about stuff and then making assumptions.
Yeah, and that's... that's hard for me. Because that not happening is extremely important to me.
What not happening?
Like, there's some things, you know, where I've had to wonder, like, what is, like, Dustin, what is he actually thinking? You know what I mean? Especially for that long period of time when you were lying. Like, is, you know, and you have to go, does he believe what he's saying, or does he know that what he's saying isn't true? Sometimes it's really hard to tell, you know, so there's that question mark that there's no way for me to get inside of your head to get that answered, but I really care and I really want to know. Or when you're saying something that's so, like, horrifically, you know, cruel, and you go, does he actually think that that's okay? Or does he know that that's horrific and he does it anyways? You know what I mean? Or like I'm looking at you going like, okay, did he just do that reflexively because that's the only way that he knows to respond in a conversation? Or is it like calculated? He's thought through how this is going to affect me emotionally. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these question marks that I can't get answers to just by asking you, the way that you can get answers to what's in somebody's head by asking them. In most relationships. So it's important to me to not expose myself to a theory about what's going on in your head that's going to make me just latch onto it and say, oh, now I know. He definitely knows he's lying when he's lying. If that's not, you know, necessarily the case. Or, no, he definitely believes his own lies when that's not necessarily the case. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I just want to know you. I just want to know you intimately. And I want to be completely open to knowing the truth about you. Because I want a real relationship with you.
Thanks.
I mean, was there a point that you were happy?
I don't know.
Because I've never told you how to live your life or where to work. All I've done is, like, do whatever I have to do. Work as many years as I had to work to make sure that you had the money to do whatever you wanted to do with your life. But that never made you happy. Do you still feel like you like Julie better than me?
Never liked Julie better than you.
You know, you talked to her about your marital problems, right?
Yes.
You know, you didn't actually have marital problems, right? Those conversations you were having with Julie where she understood you and she got you and she felt what you were going through and blah, 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 ho. Like those conversations that you were having with her were based on a fantasy that you were a man with marital problems and that your wife didn't get you and that you didn't feel connected to your wife. The reality is you had individual problems that were separate from being a married man and separate from being a father. You just had individual problems.
Not sure about that. I mean, obviously, I had problems. I was...
Yeah. Yeah, you had problems. If you'd been taking me off to Belle, Florida, if you'd been going fishing with me, if you'd been spending hours talking to me about your feelings, there was no distance, you know. There was no, your wife didn't like you. Like, you were projecting your feelings about yourself when you felt like a failure because you lost a ton of money on Bonnie Oaks. Instead of saying, I feel like a failure, I made bad decisions, I'm not who I want to think I am. Instead, you decided that your wife was having those feelings about you. Instead, you put that on me.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Well, it was a horrible thing for you to do with Julie. And it wasn't an accident, and it was intentional. And it was cheating, and it was premeditated.
See, that was an awful lot of assumptions right there.
No. No, it's a lot of facts. It's a lot of facts that you don't want people to call you out on when you haven't confessed to them. But you should have confessed to them. And you shouldn't be waiting for somebody to ask you.
Confessed to that.
What?
I don't get why you think I wouldn't confess to the truth.
You haven't. You haven't mentioned to me once that you spent a lot of time talking to Julie about your marital problems and that it was cheating and that it was premeditated. You haven't brought that up at all. You're just hoping that nobody will confront you with it because that's uncomfortable for you.
What do you mean it was premeditated?
I mean prior to... calling Julie to talk to her about your marital problems, you had decided in your mind that you wanted to talk to Julie about your marital problems. Prior to going to lunch with Julie, you decided in your mind that you wanted to go to lunch with Julie. Prior to getting up in the morning and making coffee for Julie to make her feel special and make you feel good about yourself, you decided in your mind that you wanted to make coffee for Julie to make her feel special so you could feel good about yourself. You put a lot of forethought and a lot of planning into how to go about establishing intimacy with her, and you decided that you wanted a part of that to be to bash your wife to her so that she could feel love for you and sympathy for you. And you could have somebody on your side to think bad things about your wife. It didn't just happen. And you had plenty of people in your life you could have turned to talk to them about what you were feeling about me if you needed to. But that wasn't really what you wanted. You really wanted to cheat on me, and you really wanted to get fulfillment from another woman.
I'm sorry.
then why am I the one having to say it?
I guess all of that I thought we had already talked about.
No. No, those are not things you've ever said. Those are things that people have drilled you and drilled you and drilled you and drilled you with, and you've denied and denied and denied and denied and denied and denied until finally you have to say, oh, you're right. I did.
I mean, I wrote you a letter about the nature of my feelings for her.
The letter, I know, but we had the conversation while you were in Honey Lake. We had the conversation about the fact that the letter was a lie and the fact that you worded it in the letter in a way to obscure the truth and make yourself look better than you really were. We already had that conversation.
I don't understand how that's the case.
Because while you were at Honey Lake, that was the conversation we had. We had a conversation about the fact that you wrote the letter saying that you didn't realize what you were doing while you were doing it. You didn't realize what you were doing when people confronted you with it. You didn't realize what you had done in the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of people telling you that they didn't believe you. You didn't realize that you had done something wrong when Brianna was telling you that she knew that you were too smart to not know. You're too smart to not know. But then, after I filed for divorce, much further down the line, you were able to come around to kind of seeing how you're right, you did have an inappropriate relationship. And you, the only reason that you hadn't wanted to give it up when people told you to was that it was kind of like a security blanket because you felt connected to her. And I mean, that just like really, really disgustingly whitewashes your cheating. Like it makes you sound really innocent and really like a victim of not being connected to your wife. But acting in good faith all along, just wanting what to do what is best and most honest. Like, that was an awful anniversary letter you wrote me, because it was a lie. And we had this conversation that we're having right now. We had this conversation while you were in Honey Lake. And while you were in Honey Lake, you told me, you're right. I knew all along. I knew when I was doing it. I knew before I was doing it, and I had a crush on her. I knew when you confronted me that morning, and I made her another coffee anyways right in front of you. I knew when the people from church confronted me. I knew when Brianna was telling me. But there's never been a time that you've said all those things yourself. It's always been me saying them and you saying, oh yeah, I guess so. And that's not, like, you're not really at a point of being able to say the words yourself. You've not really made an actual confession. Like, you've not even verbally taken full ownership of cheating on me.
I cheated on you, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. And do you realize, like, the day that I met Julie, like, how horrific it was that you called me to shame me and chew me out and find out what I had said so that you could, like, do damage control with her? And then you called her to express compassion for how awkward that must have been for her? Like, do you recognize that you were behaving that way on a daily basis for an extended period of time with me knowing that you were cheating on me with her and her knowing that your wife is horrible, but she really gets you and you are connected and appreciate her? Like, for an extended period of time, knowing that I felt the way I felt and knowing that Julie felt the way she felt, on a daily basis, you behaved in that way
of looking out for her feelings, making sure it wasn't too awkward on her, making sure that she didn't feel bad about it, making sure that she wasn't made to feel guilty or look bad, protecting her, defending her character, like day after day after day with tremendous amounts of thought and emotional energy. And day after day after day looking at me and deciding to work really hard to gaslight me and work really hard to make me feel bad for accusing you and her and working really hard to make me not know what was really going on between the two of you and working really hard to try to make me think I was imagining it. And working really, like, really hard to make me think that I was doing something wrong by talking to her. Like, it was horrific abuse towards me. And it was really, really inappropriate emotional protection of her. And Aaron saw that happening. And it was appropriate for somebody in your life to tell you that you were doing that. And you're wanting to act like we did something inappropriate by talking about it. And you want to act like we were completely mishandling the situation.
I did not say that talking about that was inappropriate. And I
or because, yeah, that. Because you had, but yesterday you were saying, I had no idea that you talked about me when I wasn't around.
Well, I didn't.
Or when I was, I know, but then, like, that was inappropriate. It wasn't inappropriate. Like, you were in blatant, sin. It wasn't something that you did while I was in Cape Cod, and then when I got back, you got caught, so you had to quit doing it. Like, it got worse. It got exponentially worse. And it continued, and it continued, and it continued, and nobody could convince you to stop. And even after I divorced you, or filed for divorce, and even when I moved out and went to the laws, and even when I moved back to our house and you were at the McDonald's, it continued. Like, this is not about you cheating on me while I was in Cape Cod and then not being able to work it out the way that people need to work it out with a counselor. Like, for you to be going to work and cheating on me with her, and then coming home, and when I try to have sex with you, you groan at me and tell me, you don't even like me, Aaron. Don't do this. Don't you understand it's about more than the physical for me? Like, what you were doing was really awful for an extremely extended period of time. And you wouldn't listen to anybody. And nobody was wrong.
I've already said that several of our elders gave me good advice early on that I should have followed, and I didn't, and I'm sorry.
But that's not their fault.
Nothing.
But everything that happened after that wouldn't have happened if you'd followed their advice. Like, that's not their fault. It's not their fault that I moved out of our house. They didn't tell me to move out of our house. It's not their fault that I filed for divorce, but they didn't tell me to file for divorce. Like, those things happened because of your continued abuse of me.
And the problem is, like, when you talk about if you had followed their advice, everything would have been okay. Like, that's just evidence that that's something that every man needs in their life.
I didn't say I should have followed all of their advice. I said I should have followed the advice they gave me in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So,
definitely.
That was...
I think that should be a lesson learned for you, though.
And it is. That's why I'm saying that.
But, well, actually, no. You should have followed all their advice.
I don't agree with that. It literally was impossible to follow all of their advice.
Well, tell me. Well, if you had just picked one, Dustin. But give me some advice that somebody gave you that you think would have been terrible to follow.
I don't know. They were all pretty bad.
Pick one. Just tell me one thing that was a bad idea.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and read. I'm not up for this.
I mean, I'm just saying, if there was someone who told you that you should, you know, file a motion for 50-50 custody, like, I would say, yeah, that would have been good advice to follow. I think that would have been just fine and would not have been damaging. I think it would have been fine.
And when and I if told somebody, you that to do that, you lost it. That I was abusive and that I didn't care about our children.
If you had just done it, Dustin, it would have been okay. But if you go back and read all your Our Family Wizard messages where there were all these threats in there to try to make it seem like I needed to drop my petition because otherwise this is what was going to happen, like, that was not okay.
Never implied that you needed a job position.
You can go back and read them if you want to go back and read them, Dustin. The point is, from when you got served the papers, which was probably, what, November?
I don't remember.
All the way until you went into Honey Lake, which was probably, what, January? So, like, 2 months? 2 months. You didn't file anything like that. 2 months. You did convince people that I had taken your children away from you. You did convince people that I was being unethical in tricking you into thinking something was standard that wasn't standard. You did, like, try all these things to make it look like I was being deceptive in keeping 2 weekends in a row for myself. And, I mean, it was just absurd. And it went on for 2 months, and it shouldn't have. Like, if you wanted to file a motion, file a motion. But what you did was 50 million times worse than any advice that anybody gave you during that time. Like, if the four elders were telling you four completely different things to do related to child custody, none of them would have been as bad as what you did. So you could have just picked one and it would have been fine. But nobody would have told you to go and weave sob stories to Roger. Nobody would have told you to convince your mom that you poor Dustin was only getting 2 hours with his kids on Thanksgiving. Nobody would have told you to harass your wife and accuse her of being capricious and arbitrarily, sneakily giving herself 2 weekends in a row. That's not advice that anybody would give you. I mean, maybe your mom would, but that's how terrible it is.
I'm sorry that we've been through any of this.
Can you think of bad advice that you were given by anyone at our church?
Yeah, I think it was all, quite honestly, bad advice after that initial part.
Can you think of one?
Bad advice.
I know, I'm just saying, like, related to child custody, obviously none of them were as bad as what you actually did. So you would have been better off following any of them. Yeah, any of them. Any of them.
I think the most dysfunctional
part of right now, at this moment, you would be spending with your children 10 times the amount of time that you're spending with your children right now if you had been listening to other people's advice.
I listened to all of their advice. And they were
yeah, and the horrible things that you were doing in your messages to me at that time is what caused us to have to continue on in pursuing divorce. If you had been treating me with respect and kindness the way that any of their strategies would have allowed you to do, then I could have called it off. Like, it's good advice. Don't abuse your wife. Don't try to make your wife look bad. Don't try to make your wife scared of what you're going to do to your kids. Like, be kind and straightforward.
I've never tried to make you scared, and I've never...
That's not true. You can go back and read your messages. They were all, you're forcing me to do this, Aaron. Like...
Well, I'm sorry that I had to say any of that.
Yeah, but I'm not hearing the bad advice that you received from somebody.
It was bad for them to give me opposite advice simultaneously while claiming to have some leadership, authoritative role, an expectation that I perform when they can't even... get on the same page to where it's possible.
Yeah, but they were on the same page about the things that the Holy Spirit united them in, which were the essentials.
Well, I did that.
When I did it,
they claimed that I didn't do it wholeheartedly enough or something.
That's not true.
So that is most definitely
true. It was when you kept claiming that they had told you to let me choose the time sharing, and I repeatedly tried to get your Christmas plans and repeatedly tried to get your Christmas plans and repeatedly tried to get your Christmas plans, and you lied, and you said that you would take any time that you were offered with the children while you knew that you couldn't get the time off of work. To try to make you look like you were always there for your children and wanted all of Christmas with your children, even though you knew that that wouldn't even be the best thing for them for Christmas because you were living in a hotel. That was why they were having trouble with it, because if you go back and read your Our Family Wizard messages from that week, you can see.
I was living in a hotel at that point. Okay.
No, you knew, but you already knew for Christmas that the McDonald's were going to have family in town. So you were not dealing with me honestly when I'm messaging you, giving you very generous offers of however you wanted Christmas to go. And instead of being honest about what you thought would be best for our kids and being honest about what kind of Christmas you'd be able to provide for them and being honest about how much time you could get off of work, you kept batting it back at me, trying to make me be the one to have to come up with the Christmas schedule. That wasn't why the elders asked you to let me choose the timesharing schedule so that you could turn everything around on me and not have to take responsibility for what you were and weren't able to provide for your kids. Make me look bad so that you could sob to other people about how your wife kept your kids from you on Christmas, which you did, you know.
I'm telling you, though, you kept the kids from me on Christmas, and I had the kids on Christmas.
I know, but you were at that same time, you were actively soliciting sympathy from a lot of people relative to having your children taken from you. You were actively soliciting sympathy in many spheres at that same time that I was having to message you over and over that I couldn't make Christmas plans. We couldn't plan our extended family Christmas party. We couldn't, you know, there were already things that the kids were missing out on because I couldn't schedule them. Because no matter how many times I messaged you, you acted like you were exasperated at me because you'd already told me that you would let me pick and it's what the elders told you to do. So they weren't saying you didn't do it wholeheartedly enough. They were saying that you... But you understand the problem, though, is you weren't in a genuine, like, looking at the situation and saying, okay, I'm going to be deferential to Erin regarding the kids. Okay, Erin's asking me repeatedly, and she's giving me different options for Christmas, and that one doesn't work for me because I've got work, so I'm going to tell her that, so that if she wants me to, like, take unpaid time off, I could do that because I'm being deferential to her, or they won't even let me, so I just need to let Erin know that if I take the whole week off, I'm going to actually lose my job, so she can take that into account. Like, you weren't dealing honestly with me. You were dealing in a way to write all these messages to make yourself look perfect and to make yourself look like a victim of me controlling the schedule. Make yourself look like a victim of the elders making you defer to your wife instead of standing up for your own legal rights. That wasn't appreciated by them because they didn't want to give you advice that was going to put me in a weaker position and make me look worse and make me more of a victim. And that's how it was playing out. And you can go back and you can read the Our Family Wizard messages from December. And you can see that you were weaponizing their advice against me.
I apologize. That actually had nothing to do with what I was talking about, but I do remember the circumstance about Christmas.
Yeah, but that was at the same time. Like, that was, you know, that was at the same time. That's, I'm saying, like, you have to take into account, like, the holistic situation of everything that was going on. And that's something that was going on that made it really obvious that you were willing to say, oh, I did what was on their list, therefore they have no right to complain about me anymore because I'm doing exactly what they say to do. All the while harassing me and hurting me and victimizing me over and over again, sometimes weaponizing their advice, which makes them reticent to give you any more advice. It's like, we give Dustin advice, but then he just uses it to make himself look like more of a victim, make Erin feel worse. We can't keep giving this guy advice if he's going to hurt his wife with it. And I think that was really wise on their part.
Wow.
But I still don't. It was wise of them to not keep giving you, you know, lists of things to do that you were going to turn around and weaponize against me and use to make yourself look like a victim. There hadn't been, like, an actual heart change at that point. You were doing what was on their list because you were desperate to stop your divorce from going through. You wanted to know what you could do in order to be able to claim that I had no right to divorce you. that wasn't the same as a heart change. That wasn't the same as, like, repentance. It wasn't the same as being ashamed of having hurt me. That wasn't the same as making a decision to not victimize me anymore. You were still doing it.
I'm sorry. You're right.
I really was being as straightforward with you as I possibly could. I want you to know that. Like, I wasn't ever trying to manipulate you out of time with your children or trick you into thinking something was standard that wasn't, or deviously get myself 2 weekends in a row.
Okay.
You know, I would never do any of that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Do you think that came from talking to your mom?
No.
You just came up with that on your own?
I don't know.
Was there anybody you were talking to that was able to affirm it? That it made sense?
Yeah, pretty much everybody.
But who were you talking to?
I don't know, my workmates.
Like Chris?
Yeah.
That's awful. I still don't hear any bad advice you got.
I'm tired, honey. I'm ready to go to bed.
Well, you know what I think.
What?
I think you didn't get any bad advice.
No, I know you think that. I don't think that's going to change.
Huh?
But I know you think that. I don't think that's going to change.
I know, because I'm right. And you won't be able to give a counterexample. How are all your stuff?
I mean, I already gave an example. I don't think that it was wise of them to be giving me conflicting advice.
Well, you were the one who was seeking out advice. on topics that you have freedom in Christ to navigate yourself. Like, do you understand, like, the difference between, like, being in blatant sin and the Holy Spirit unifying them to speak truth to you, to help you, like, not go down a destructive path? The difference between that and then you going to them individually seeking their advice on something that's not a black and white right or wrong thing that they have the freedom to have their own opinions about and you have the freedom to choose what you think is best about.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's multiple right answers to what should I cook for dinner tonight.
I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, how are your subs doing with the pandemic?
So far, fine, but I won't be surprised if this affects us at some point.
You don't know? You have no idea yet?
Nah, I don't think they really do. I mean, like, municipalities have been totally shutting the city, shutting cities down. So if they do that in Jacksonville, I don't think they're just going to keep paying me if we're not actually building houses.
But right now you're just able to schedule everybody like you normally do?
Yep.
And you're able to get materials like you always do?
So far.
Okay. Well, would you... would you rather become a contractor or would you rather become a licensed mental health counselor?
I don't know. I'm still not doing very well to be able to think about that.
Would you rather be an accountant? Okay. Do you have a cough?
Yeah.
Hey.
Pretty mild.
I know, but still, like, you're interacting with multiple people?
Yep. Not really.
Terrible. Yeah, you are.
I wouldn't say I have a cough. Not like a cough.
Sounds like you have a cough.
I also have to wonder if at some point the McDonald's would be like, we don't need Dustin in our house anymore.
Because of health?
Yeah.
Because you're working?
Well, that certainly exacerbates it, I would think.
Have you talked to them about it?
No. Jane, you think it's all, overblown, and CA, like, won't come near me because of the 6-foot rule.
Okay. Well, have you asked him, are there any precautions you want me to take?
No, I can do that.
I think some people are, like, changing their clothes in the garage before they come inside after work, stuff like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can ask him. I just didn't want, I don't know, I didn't want to ask him that and have him come up with something or say, no, you're fine, and then a week from now feel like he needs me to move out and feel like he can't say that because he had already told me his requirements or something.
Well, then that's the conversation, right?
What?
Is as this thing goes on, like, don't be hesitant to tell me what you need me to do for you to feel safe in your own house.
I know, but that implies that I just hate the...
It's a dynamic situation, and you understand that. And he's going to feel differently one week to the next, and you understand that.
I know, but I think by phrasing it that way, there's this implied, like, I have a right to be here at all to it.
No. No, that's part of it. Like, he can tell you to move out, and you understand that.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody there is hesitant to kick somebody out when they want to kick somebody out.
Okay.
Unless you get pregnant. That's a different story, though.
Oh, well, she's out.
Oh, I know. But there was a time when they were like, you can't really kick out a pregnant person. But I think aside from that, they really don't hesitate.
I got you. I think I'm going to get going, Mommy.
Okay.
I love you.
All right. Love you, too. Bye.